What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
We are back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan. Corey Majors, Kevin Hagelin, the famous Mike Bassick, and Alec Medford all hanging out with you on your lunch break, if you take your lunch break at noon. But guys, it is time to ask this question about the Cowboys. Which Cowboys players can actually get better next season? And this question seems self-explanatory. So I'm going to try and
still explain it if you want.
I feel like, Kevin, let me roll my idea out on this. There are players on this team that Jerry Jones expects that a lot of the younger players will grow into veterans or year two guys. I heard Broaddus and Brad Sham talk about this and Zach Wolchuk on the post-game show, and they used the line, hey, they aren't young players anymore. And so that means there are at least a handful from this draft that got opportunities that the Cowboys are saying, we're going to rely on them to grow in an offseason. I think that's a little unfair, but that's the way the Cowboys do it. But if they do, it can be good for them. Now, are there other players, too, that were maybe in their second year that just got a little bit of time this year and can grow even more? Because, Kevin, if you look at that free agency list right now, 22 free agents for the Cowboys, it appears.
Yeah.
And that's just the unrestricted free agents. I think there are maybe four or six other types.
But we like our own.
Yeah, exactly.
Sign your own free agents.
So guys like Jordan Lewis, those are the types of names that I'm like, oh man, I love, you know how much I love Jordan Lewis. I'd love to have that guy back, but did he earn that spot?
Because I think we'll go over the antithesis of this tomorrow. It's like, who's just not getting better? But I actually do think there are a lot of Cowboys players that could get better for 2025. And I think you're spot on with the way you described it, because that's what Jerry and his team are telling themselves or talking about in the building. Hey, we need all these young players who are already paying nothing or are under contract to get better. I think there's a lot that can. Cooper Beebe, Sam Williams. Well,
you want to just start with Cooper Beebe?
Let's start with Cooper Beebe, because that makes a lot of sense. I'm not saying he was bad this year. We'll have another player. I'm not saying these rookies were bad, but it makes sense that you could get better from your rookie year.
He grew throughout this season. He got better throughout the season. There was an early roller coaster, and that should be expected. A, dude changed positions, played a position that he didn't play, and said, I'm going from guard to center. And you knew he could play that a little bit because there are similarities in that spot. But the communication at the center position is so valuable. You have to be able to you kind of have to know everybody's job. And as a rookie, you're still trying to find where the bathroom is most of the time. So you're trying to figure out your own job. And so...
You better find that out in a hurry, or you're going to go to the bathroom on yourself.
You don't want to do that.
That's a good point.
Or out in the middle of the field, and then coach is going to be mad at you. So Cooper Beebe had that opportunity to grow. You saw some bumps. I think two things. A, needs to get physically stronger this offseason, which I think he can. I think in a Cowboys offseason, after your rookie year, you can develop the strength that it takes to go up against other 300-pound men. That not just the boys you were facing in college that you knew you might be able to take on, but 300-pound men that are trying to kill your quarterback or your running back. So with Cooper Beebe, Kevin, I think there's a, I think there's an even, he might have the highest ceiling for me because I think there's a lot more. Yes, I'm
okay.
Guyton was so bad.
I don't hate it.
Guyton was so bad that maybe his ceiling could be further away, but I feel like Cooper Beebe can get to that ceiling quicker.
And Guyton is on my list too.
Yeah.
In terms of, I thought he was disappointing this year. And I know some people get upset about that. They're like, hey, come on, he's a rookie. I get it. Your first round pick at a position or a set of positions where the Cowboys have been amazing at picking in the first round. And you've seen him struggle a lot. That doesn't mean Tyler Guyton can't be really, really good. It's just he really, really wasn't. So I think Tyler Guyton is another good one. And I like that both of them are on the offensive line because if it works in your favor, that's a pretty sweet upgrade to your offensive line if they both get better.
Now, and Stephen, and I know we're going to talk about Sam Williams. They talk about guys like that all the time.
Sam Williams, definitely.
Look, hey, that's a free agent right there. Not really, like in that grand scheme of things, but I understand what they're saying. To stick with Guyton before we move on, though, he has a variety of flaws that he has to correct. And this can't be an off season where he goes and says, you know what? I made it. Time to go vacation and relax. This should be his off season where he says, you know what? Not good enough. I have to be a Pro Bowler next year and I got to be ready for whatever else is to come. And that's going to take a lot of off season work outside of the Star.
And know that.
Well, I guess he actually does a lot of his work with Manyweather over at the Star.
But know that a lot of those holding calls came because he got beat.
His footwork was, I want to say, miserable because those holding calls are because you're reaching, your technique's bad, your balance is off, and he was slow off that on that left foot. He's got to get better at that. And I don't know if they're going to decide to move him. This is another thing too. You go in an offseason and they say we're moving on from Terrence Steele, and they're going to flip Guyton over to the right side. Now he's got a whole new position. I know he's like, oh, tackle is tackle. No, it's different. Your body does some different stuff. We talked about that with Tyron Smith years ago. He goes to the Pro Bowl, and they move him to the other side, and now his knees hurt a little bit because he's not used to that.
So you might think this next one's wishful thinking. I don't think it is, but if it is, we could be in trouble. Jake Ferguson. Jake Ferguson has got to get better and also understand the snap count. Like, I'm just not sure why we continue to get false starts from Jake Ferguson, but he looked more like a fourth round pick this year. He did not look like the way he did the year before in 2023 when you were like, okay, we don't need any more tight ends. Like, this is our dude.
Yeah.
And then he really fell off a cliff this year. And I know injuries are part of it, but even when he was out there, not the same.
Injuries didn't have anything to do with the penalties. The
True.
Penalties were focus. That was all of his penalties this year were focus. The drops that were like very easy catchable balls, that's focus right there too. And so for me, toughness, we know the dude's tough. He's got the personality of I'll run through a wall for Dak and I'll show you. But you got to have the focus like it's the best game of your life.
Question back at you based off of Ferguson. Do you believe that there's the possibility that the higher draft pick Schoonmaker will be your better tight end next year?
Yeah.
Personally, I do not. But obviously.
I saw some progression from Schoonmaker this season in the absence of Ferguson that I liked. And I feel like, you know, higher draft pick, going to get a few more opportunities. They want Ferguson too, but the Cowboys have proven many times they'll move on from a tight end. So I feel like they'll be like, hey, you know what? If a contract's coming up, we can give this other guy your reps.
I'm really bullish on Jake Ferguson, but maybe that'll come back to be like, oh, okay.
I was too, Kevin, until this year, and I gotta see him bounce back big time next year.
And I know people are continuing to call him a bust, and I understand why, but I'm gonna say Mazi Smith.
Okay.
You last year, I saw no flashes, nothing. This year, it's not where you want, especially as a first-round pick. But I at least saw some flashes where I was like, okay, I get it. Like, what you thought you were getting. Does that...
Marcus Mosher, you know, I don't love everything that he talks about, but he puts up a lot of good numbers, okay? And he threw up numbers, and Mozzie's numbers this year were lower than his rookie year. And people were like, what's going on there? And he said, well, the first part of this season was bad. The last part of the last seven games
was good.
Were a lot better. A lot
yeah.
better for Mazi Smith. And so if you want to go back and watch just specifically him, the first part of the season, last part of the season, you'll see that difference. Here's my concern and question. he's not a guy that I think is going to do it himself. Mike Zimmer put a lot into molding him this year. Mike Zimmer might not be back next year.
Man, and he really let everybody know that, didn't he?
Yeah, and Zimmer's one of those guys, or Mozzie's one of those guys where, as Broaddus has said multiple times, you kind of have to put your arm around him and bring him along. What defensive coach are they going to bring in? Maybe they keep the defensive line coach. Maybe he's back. What defensive coordinator are they going to bring in that's patient enough to say, I'm willing to hold your hand while we do this? Or is he, what I would say, Kevin, is his leap, his next step needs to be growing up and doing it on his own without having anybody else saying that they're going to help him along the way.
And this is a weird part of this question, because like part of me is kind of encouraged that we have so many options, but another part of me is discouraged because I think the Cowboys will do that same thing and be like, who do we need to add? We got this guy coming up. We got this guy coming up. We got to get this guy coming up. Marshawn Nealand and Maris Leafau,
I think they
both
can grow,
popped into my mind.
I think that Nealand can grow from the physical standpoint, getting stronger as a professional football player, just like Cooper Beebe. I liked some of the things that I saw from him this year, but one of the things I'd like him to add is more pass rush skills. I felt really comfortable with him in the run game until his injury was there, and then the whole Cowboys defense can't stop the run, and that looks bad. I like Marshawn Nealand a lot, but I don't think that anybody really expected him to carry the load that he was going to have to take this early in his career. But that's what,
for sure,
that is the way it is. And the Cowboys are like, we're draft for depth. But the Leafau is an interesting one, Kevin, because there was that big run play in the last game where he just blew the assignment. Micah crashes down, takes out the quarterback and Leafau, or the running back, and Leafau's like, all right, and quarterback's gone.
Micah looked
at him. And so I want, what's that? I'm sorry.
And Micah looked at him.
Yeah, he was like, I did what I was supposed to do. So I need Leafau, as much as I love like the almost reckless abandon he plays with, because you need to have that physicality at the position. I need him to get in that book a little bit more, you know, and be the heady instinct guy that comes along with it.
Another question for y'all. Jalen Tolbert. Because if you just look at the numbers.
I'm done.
Okay. Hold that thought for just 5 seconds. If you just look at the numbers, you're like, what an incredible achievement. If you watch the games, I wonder how many people feel the way Corey does.
Corey, to me, he's a number four receiver. So I'm not done with him. Like, and I think, Corey, you're probably on the same page as me. Like, not that he can't play in the NFL.
I had higher expectations.
But he's a number four. He doesn't have very good hands. He doesn't consistently get open. At times, you know, you're just really disappointed. Yes, he did make some plays.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you. So listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
That's why I'm saying he's not a non-NFL player. But if you want to have a receiving room that makes sense going into training camp, you say he's our number four, and really he's not competing for three and definitely not competing for two, because he is, I think at this point, what he is, he's a guy who's going to survive in the NFL for a while being like a number four receiver for a lot of teams. So there's injuries, he steps up, but when you're healthy, he's your fourth receiver.
Yeah, I'm in that boat where I had a lot of higher expectations. You say four for this team, is not a same four for other teams either because of how much they look at CeeDee Lamb one. And so I don't know if they're going to be a team that's like, hey, look, we want a true number two or a potential number one as our number two because CeeDee Lamb's our one. So it might just be a bunch of number fours as those options there. But I had higher expectations for Tolbert. He hasn't gotten there yet. And if he's going to take another leap, I need it this year.
We have no clue how the draft's going to play out. But, you know, in a perfect world, I guess in the first or second round, you get a receiver you really like. Maybe you bring back Cook. I don't know if the Cowboys have any interest
in
that.
I'm curious about that.
But maybe you get him at a discount because of how many injuries he kind of had with you. And he's been bounced around seven teams or whatever it is in the NFL. And isn't it weird how Cook at the end, you're always like, he wasn't bad, but he wasn't maybe what we hoped for. Exactly. And that's been his whole career.
Yep.
Now, expectations have gone down every year. For the most part, his expectations have gone down just a little bit with every organization. But if you had, let's say, a rookie guy you liked in the first or second round, and he's your number 2/3 to put along with Cook, who's your 2/3, you have obviously CeeDee Lamb, who's one of the best in the NFL. And now Tolbert is battling with... you have, why am I drawing a blank? Your guy that's awesome at returning kicks and punts.
Turpin.
You have Turpin, you have Tolbert, and you have one other person.
Jalen Brooks.
Yeah, there's your six guys. And then you're kind of like, all right, like I think that would be nice.
How many catches do you think Brandon Cooks had this year?
40?
38.
26.
Heck yeah.
On 54 targets.
You know what we call that? Discount. Right? Isn't that what the Jones family are looking
at? I get
it. At that point, if other teams
don't
like them.
Let's not pretend like the Rangers aren't building their bullpen the same way.
We're about to go over the old bullpen. It went from it's going to be a young bullpen to it's going to be an old bullpen. Is like you look at it and you go, all right, if Cook's at 1 year, $4 million, now maybe he gets more than that. But at that point, I think that's a really good deal for the Cowboys. And in a way that you didn't make the playoffs, that guy had a bad year and an injured year. You can go, heck, we can bring him back at a very discounted rate and make sure. Thing is, he's probably going to get hurt again in Cooks. But like, you know, like Tolbert, push him down. But if you draft a dude in the third or fourth round, you cannot rely on third and fourth round picks to immediately come in and make impact. Sometimes they do, and that's awesome that they do. But you can't rely on drafting a receiver in the third or fourth round and going, he's going to be ready for the NFL.
I thought this year would be the year. If next year's the year, cool. I lost hope a little too early. Coming up next on the KNC Masterpiece, what do you think will be the most impactful national sports story in 2025? We do it next on The Fan.
McKinnon is in at running back. First down and goal to go. Play action fake. Right side throw. Touchdown! Kansas City! McCole Hardman with the catch on the right side.
Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan. And thank you to the 503 who brought Kevin double noodle soup.
And then Mike ruined it by saying, what if you never got better? That would really suck. I've had a lot of
what if this
thoughts
the rest
and
of
nightmares
your life?
About that. Yes.
It always feels like when you have an injury or you get like a bronchiositis, is that...
bronchiositis.
It feels like you would never get better.
Yep.
This was back in the way before the medieval times. Uh-huh. This was during the dinosaur times.
That's not.
You didn't get better. You just died.
Bronchitis.
They had no medicine.
Crustaceous area.
Yeah. Oh my God. Crustaceous. What did you just say?
Crustaceous. Cretaceous.
Okay. I'm surprised you didn't call it like the Chris Christopherson era.
I don't even know who that is.
When I get CNN? Hiccups, I always feel like it's never going to go away. And I hate hiccups so much.
Or like if you hurt your toe, you're like, I'm going to have to live with this the rest of my life. And then one day you wake up and your toe's better.
Yeah, you don't even. Maybe you wake up and you're like, my toe's been better for 3 months and I forgot. Yeah.
Please, God, in modern medicine, let that happen tomorrow.
I would love it. I would love
it. What if
it
does? It's going to happen. One day you're going to wake up and go, oh my gosh, my throat and my chest feel better.
I think tomorrow is going to be that day because you'll be 2 days into your antibiotic prednisone
and your soup.
Whatever.
Yeah. I have panicked a lot that it's never going to get better. So
this would end your career.
You do? No. Yes. You do this every year.
This would be.
It's been 2 years, though.
How many times did you do it before, though? Like every year before that. So last year it was an off year.
This is the longest it's ever been.
Yeah. This is like your Amari Stoudemire, like your knee injury.
So
it just eventually ended his career at a young age.
No, Mike, stop doing this.
It can happen.
I'm trying to prop him up.
Oh,
you
my
just
God.
Keep giving him sad things, though.
What if in our careers there were injuries like this. Like, it just happened. Like, he got bronchitis.
I think there is, not bronchitis, but like your vocal cords could go out. Charlie Robinson, I know before he passed away, rest in peace, Charlie Robinson, he had a vocal cord injury and couldn't sing anymore.
Yep.
Great songwriter, though. Loved him.
What
the hell,
or this
y'all?
Could be your voice.
I've had those thoughts. I've had dreams about having vocal cord surgery. Okay. I thought about that Twilight Zone where that guy cut his own vocal cords to win the bet about not talking for an entire year.
He couldn't just not talk?
He should have made it a bigger bet.
He said he couldn't do it.
I bet you can't. I bet I won't talk for the rest of my life.
And it's given me a lot of negative thoughts.
You can cut your vocal cords?
Well, this was an episode of the Twilight Zone. I don't know how
vocal
accurate
cords,
if it's based on reality.
If you cut your vocal cords, do they heal?
It's a good question, and that is why we ask this question now.
Okay.
What do you think is going to be the most impactful national sports story of 2025? 877-881-1053. And I think it's going to be
the Joy Taylor and Skip Bayless situation.
That's going to be up there.
I started off 2025 with a whole big scandal on, I don't know, the second biggest network for sports. Obviously, ESPN's the first.
Yeah.
I don't think that one's going to live much longer, honestly. I really don't.
Mike's been dying to talk about it.
You
just want to give him...
Yeah, Mike...
I have no idea what he's going
to
say,
You have 2 minutes to discuss Joy Taylor.
All right, 2 minutes. I don't know if I have 2 minutes on this. Look, I didn't know what was happening, and then yesterday, I'm getting done with vacation, and I find that there's this huge S scandal at Fox Sports 1 with Skip Bayless and... the person who picks the talent, is that the I don't know the guy's name. White-haired white guy.
All right. And one of the executives, yeah.
Yeah.
Producer.
And then Joy Taylor was sleeping with multiple people, including Acho.
I don't know that.
Like that's what I'm seeing. I don't know if it's true or not. Obviously, it's all alleged, right? And even if it's this is always the weird case. Even if it's proven in court and Acho and Joy Taylor and Skip Bayless still deny it, then you'd still have people and they could be, you could say, they were wrong. The court was wrong. I'm still right, you know? And then you'd be like, well, I believe Joy Taylor because I know her. I believe Emmanuel Acho because I know him. Like,
yeah.
So even if it was in court and it was proven that those things happened, you would still have people that say it didn't happen. And then you'd be like, I don't know. Like, obviously, I wasn't there when Joy Taylor or Emmanuel Acho did or didn't do what they're being accused of doing. But I do think it's a big story of 2025 right now, but I am with you.
It's early.
I think by the time we get to the end of it, there'll be plenty more sex scandals in
he's
the world.
Lying. Yeah,
you're not wrong.
Just like you said about Francisco Lindor earlier, you're like, he's probably going to get passed up on the B-War situation. So
yeah.
this will get passed up at some point.
It has to feel great, though, if you're on an all-century team 25 years in.
It is kind of dope. That is pretty awesome to be in that because you might not live long enough to see.
Think about the dude who had 17 home runs in 1925 and is like, nobody's ever going to hit 17 home runs.
And then they're like, if you hit 17, people are like, he's got no pop.
Oh my gosh.
Or he doesn't have consistent pop. Because we talked about the top stories of 2024. And so I was just curious, and this is why I played the Chiefs highlight coming back. I think without question, especially if they win, it's going to be the Chiefs three-peat.
The Chiefs three-peat would be the biggest one for sure, nationally.
Yeah.
I'll stick locally, but the national story would be that because it's never happened in the NFL. And so for that to happen would be... The Cowboys should have done it. They should have gotten 4 in a row. We all agree.
Any one of 300 people could have done it.
Yeah.
We just got 301, and then he went back to number 300.
But
Switzer.
Mahomes, I mean, their efforts to do it and what they've done this year, man, what would be amazing is if they plow through these playoffs and you're just like, how they went on a scoring spree. How did they do it? Did they just fold up and just only do half the playbook all season long and then decided we're going to open it up in the playoffs? That would be amazing if they were able to that's how good they were, that they didn't have to do very much during the regular season. The line, we played as hard as we had to. But it would definitely be it because nobody would talk about anything else other than how long is this dynasty going
to
last?
So far going into the end of 2024 was the NBA and their struggling ratings. They did get a boost on Christmas Day based off of, I didn't know this, if you just put the games on ABC instead of ESPN, you get 500,000 to 200 million, 2 million extra people watching. So I can't remember if I did that with you guys or with Will Chambers, but it was an interesting story where I saw the games being on Christmas Day going to ABC rather than staying just on ESPN, gives you a $500,000 to $2 million two million people person, bump in watching that. Is I think a story of 2025 could be the lack of interest in the NBA playoffs.
That's interesting. I told Alec last week, Kevin, that somebody had posted that all the streaming services had seen a decline of like 25% of viewing of like the shows. Yeah. And somebody quote tweeted it and said, streaming is shooting too many threes. And I thought that was a really funny joke because that's what everybody says is the decline of the NBA is it's just too many threes. Although I think the product just isn't quite as captivating as it was when you had names like Magic and so forth. Those interesting stories. I think there's still some really good talents to latch onto and be excited about, though.
And see, I threw out the team that I think could help this in the playoffs. I think one of the biggest stories is the Celtics are going to go back to back. And like,
ooh, I'll tell you what could help is Celtics and Knicks play in the conference finals.
Because you need that because like, I love the Mavericks. We all love the Mavericks. But if the Mavericks win the championship, it's nowhere near as big of a deal as if the Celtics went back-to-back or held the Knicks won it or the Lakers.
I don't think this would happen, but can you imagine if for some reason the Celtics are in it, but they're playing, I know this won't happen, Atlanta. Like, you'd be like, oh, what? Who gives a, we know the Celtics are going to win, who gives a crap? And then on the other side, it'd be Oklahoma City versus Houston to go to the NBA Finals, and Oklahoma City wins that in four or five games. I don't think it'll be either. I don't think Houston's good enough yet to get to the conference finals. But, like, I don't know. Like, I'm worried about the NBA. Last night, I've been such a huge NBA fan my whole life. And last night, I look on the app, the NBA app, and I see the starting lineup. And I see no Kyrie. Remember, I was out of town, so I didn't know. Like, I'm like, why is Kyrie not playing again? And I knew Luka wasn't playing. And then I go to the other side and I see Ja Morant's not playing. I'm like, why does anybody want to watch this game? Give me a reason to watch. The three best players in this game they're hurt. I'm not saying they're not hurt, but like, I don't want to watch 14 role players play against each other. Like, I just, that doesn't interest me. And it seems like 50% of the games now are you're going to watch just role players playing the NBA. Because to your point, Corey, I do think there are very exciting good players to watch. Mm-hmm. Shea, Anthony Edwards, Luka Doncic, Jokic.
I think
Jokic,
every team has one, yeah.
But they sit out so many games or they're hurt so much. You're just like, I don't see the interest in the 82 games if the players aren't interested in the 82 games.
From the 682, NFL playoff ratings will be low is what they're saying. I don't know.
I don't think so.
The numbers... Yeah, at least the trending numbers this year would lead us to believe that's not going to happen. And for people who are like, no one's going to watch that one that's only on streaming, they will.
Amazon Prime
they did
was
last,
year,
from
last year
and they
Thursday
will.
Nights. Yeah.
At 1:20, we're going to get into this because I know we're bringing in our guy, Redheaded Carter. Is Thursday playoff Carter's game, fine. Friday playoff game, Saturday two playoff games, right? The AFC. Mm-hmm. Sunday three playoff games.
Yeah.
And then Monday a playoff game.
And I can't get enough of it.
Like, I'm very excited, even though I think Texas is going to lose by a lot of points, is I am very excited about Thursday and Friday. Saturday, I'm okay with it. Sunday, I'm kind of excited about it. And Monday, which game's Monday? That's the Minnesota game?
The Monday game is the Minnesota game. The two Saturday games are, I would argue,
but you do have the option.
Yeah.
Like, I think there could be a play, as in, if you're saying the ratings are going to be low, I don't know. You get the Thursday, Friday college playoff games, and then it's like, and we have more playoffs. Now the NFL playoffs are starting. I think people will be slobbering for more playoff football.
Do you feel like, because I feel like this could be a big story this year. Do you feel like the big shot at the college football playoff, the way that they had added so many teams was, it's going to dilute the game. Don't you feel like it added to the regular season? The regular season was more interesting because there were more games during the season that mattered.
Okay, and I'm not trying to straddle the fence on this, but I would argue it did dilute the season and also made it better. And here's what I mean by that. Like, if Michigan and Ohio State were 3-4, I realize rough year for Michigan, and they play, you're like, yeah, that's cool, but they're both going to be in. I know one gets the bye, but they're both going to be in. But then you had those SMU games against like some rando teams that I was way more interested in.
Yeah, I think it worked both ways. Yeah. Right? Georgia Texas championship game. All it meant was seeding. We knew both teams were in, so that lost we knew that if that game was for a Final Four spot, that was a do or die game for both teams. So I see it. Like SMU, those games in the end meaned a lot. But then for...
He said it.
I got it.
He said meaned.
Dang it.
That's
hey,
okay.
You know what? Keep talking. I need you to keep talking.
But I do see that SMU, Boise State, the Arizona State, you know, like there were games in the end that mattered that wouldn't have mattered. There were a few games. So I'm with you. I'd say more games mattered. There were a few games that had very little relevance to what's going to happen because both teams were in.
The story, I think, that's going to be the biggest one locally, but it also could be internationally because last year I did go on South America CNN to talk about this story.
I remember
Stars and Mavs making a Stanley Cup and NBA Finals run. I think they're going to both be in it this year. Last year,
that'd be the best.
It was the conference finals where the Stars lost. The Mavs got to the NBA Finals. I know you just said that it wouldn't be great for the NBA because the Mavericks are in that, but I'm making the pitch that we're both going back into it this year. I'm going to say one of them's winning. One of them's winning. The other one will be there. So that's, I think.
I hope you're right.
You'd pick the Stars at this point.
Yeah,
right?
My heart's just starting to go, oh, this is such a good Mavs team that's just going to just. The injuries are
there's
just
a lot of time
up.
Is what I'm hoping is there's a lot of time left to turn
to your
it
point. They haven't played 42 games or 41 games, I guess is the halfway point. They haven't got to that point yet. So there is plenty of time to make up for these injuries.
That's my local and international story. Again, I had to go on South American.
What are the odds you'll be on CNN again this year?
100%.
Hey, here's a stupid question.
Is that an odd?
I mean, that feels
that was
high.
A percentage.
No, it's
I'll take the under.
Is the World Cup thing this year here? When's that happening?
That's next year.
Okay.
26?
Definitely in 26 that could
Why
be a
major Why do you look
story.
So upset that he...
I don't know. I don't know when they play soccer.
It's because of two things. First of all, that's a huge deal. And it is here. Second of all is the way he goes, is it the World Cup thing? You got the
Are
name
the
right.
Are the women's playing this year?
You got
no.
the name right.
I don't know.
And yet you added a thing on there for no discernible reason. Speaking of the women, though, do you think I'm seriously asking this question? Caitlin Clark was obviously a humongous story this last year. Do you think the WNBA Caitlin Clark will be anywhere near as impactful?
I'm going to get in trouble
year?
For saying this. I think the more you watch women's basketball, the more you're going to go blah.
I'm
because that's how you feel, right?
Yeah, I get the hype around it, and I get that ESPN is pumping the crap out of it, and there's other people pumping the crap out of it.
Obligation
but I think
so.
When you watch, because I will say, I did tune in, not to the Wings, but I did tune in a little bit because it was on ESPN or whatever, and I watched it, and I was just like, oh man, the highlights make this look a lot faster pace. Yep. And I'm not, they're the best women in the world. They are awesome at what they do. Unfortunately, I am comparing it to the NBA.
Yeah,
or college, or the men's basketball.
And if
tournament.
Reggie was here, Reggie would say, "Well, don't do that, right?" Like,
it is the same sport.
What it is what it is. But I totally get you. And Mike, I did that this year too. However, I did tune in, which I never have done in the past. And I did tune in because I wanted to see a Caitlin Clark. I wanted to see an Angel Reese. I wanted to see some of these other players how they are developing. I do know because of Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese. I do know more players in college now that are going to be coming into next year.
Like Paige Beckers.
Yes, being one of them. JoJo being one. Those are names where I'm like, okay, Juju. These are names that I'm really interested in seeing them come in. And now I have more faces that I know. So that's where I am with them. I don't know if it's going to keep me long when I turn it on. But there are other people that it did captivate them and capture them, and they're in it now. So we'll see how much longer it goes.
And then this might be the FS1 stuff, but one of the notes I made was some weird-ass story that we can barely even imagine right now. Like, something is going to happen that you're like, I didn't even understand. And then Soto with the Mets is another. I think there's going to be a lot of attention on that.
I think. Shohei coming back to be a pitcher hitter again.
That's a good one.
I mean, he went 50-50. I think it's impossible for him to steal 50 bags because he's going to be pitching. So they're going to be like, we don't want you being as aggressive on the bases because of just conserving your energy to pitch once a week. But I think that there will be baseball storylines with obviously the Yankees losing Soto. That ties into the Soto story of like the Yankees made it to the World Series. Can they be good to great again losing Soto? Is Soto that big of a difference maker? That I know the Mets did make it to the NLCS, but that was surprising. Everybody was shocked that the Mets, after going for it all, then traded Scherzer, traded Verlander, traded a few other people there, like, we're going to kind of rebuild on the fly, got good unexpectedly quick, and then gave Soto all the money in the world. Can he take the Mets to over the top, or will the Mets be regretting this 2-3 years down the road, going, yes, he is great, but God, we spent a lot of money on a dude who can't play defense and is an awesome hitter.
Right now it is time for Mike Likes It.
Speaking of baseball in 2025, we are getting really close to the Rangers Fan Fest. And also, Corey, if you would like to repeat, because I don't know all the stuff. We're having Whataburger and Marcus Semien and Cody Bradford somewhere.
Those are the bullet points.
Yeah. Yes, those are the bullet points. Mike, you nailed it right there. It is the
Thursday
Rangers Winter Caravan Tour. It'll presented be winter. By Coca-Cola. Kicks off with us at the Fan Showroom, and we'll see how that goes, because there may be some interesting scheduling on that. So, yeah, Whataburger will be there.
So, when we went into the offseason, we thought this. The Rangers are going to have a young bullpen, and through mostly free agency, but a trade here and there, obviously the Nate Lowe trade. The Rangers' bullpen is now an old bullpen. In fact, I would say, we don't know if Kirby Yates is coming back. Please bring Kirby Yates back. But we don't know this. If he comes back, this will be arguably, I will say, the oldest bullpen in all of baseball if it's healthy.
But that doesn't necessarily mean you dislike the moves, right?
I don't dislike the moves. I like the moves. The Rangers are shopping. Me and my son were having this conversation on vacation. The Rangers are kind of getting guys that might have not had the best year last year, or getting closer to the end of their career and are finding short-term bargain deals. And if they can get back to where they were in a prime year, oh my gosh, you have a really good bullpen.
This is typical of the Rangers in the past, though, to be, not necessarily bullpen, but with a player or a couple of players that are kind of at that point.
Yeah.
They're really good. They've always been really good at this.
Yes, for the most part. Unless they brought that one year, they brought three Tommy John guys in and like, here's our rotation. Yeah. Like, I don't think you should bring three guys coming off of Tommy John surgery in at the same time and hope they work out. But if I look at the age of these guys right now, so your lefties as of now, Hobie Milner, 34 years old, and Garcia from the Nationals, he's 28. Right now, Garcia's your youngest relief pitcher. He's the only guy that will be under 30 years old in your bullpen as I speak now. There are two bullpen spots open, but I'm really hoping the Rangers still don't have a closer. I'm really hoping they bring back 37, 38-year-old Kirby Yates, which is going to be another very old guy. But we saw how great he was last year with a 1.17 ERA.
And splitter was awesome.
The Rangers sign Chris Martin. That was a good sign. I like him. He is going to be your eighth inning guy. I'm not in love. I'm going to be honest. I'm not in love with him being the eighth inning guy, but I can see that he can get the job done. Last year, that was David Robertson. I thought he did a tremendous job. There were a few games that he blew. Now, remember, the bullpen lacked so much depth last year. They started forcing him to pitch two innings at times, or at least an inning plus. Like, we got to bring him in the seventh. We're not going to get out of this unless we bring in David Robertson. Well, who's going to pitch the eighth? Just throw him back out there for the eighth, and then sometimes he'd get the job done in the seventh, not get it done in the eighth inning, and that's where the Rangers would run into some issues because, I'll bring this up, Josh Spores isn't part of the bullpen now because they're hoping he comes back in mid-June to mid-July. Somewhere in there is the hope for Josh Spores after having the offseason shoulder surgery. Your lefties, 34 and 28. Right now, your righties in the pen. Chris Martin, who will probably be your setup guy, is 37 or will be 37. I tried to do this based off of the math of what they'll be when opening day starts.
And with him, it's all yellow.
Jacob Webb.
I got it.
I don't know. I don't get
That's
it.
It's a Coldplay reference.
Oh, because of singing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He sings for the play.
I get you.
Jacob Webb, 31 years old. Sean Armstrong, 34 years old. Dane Dunning is 30 years old. That's six of your eight spots right now. So If I go in age of youngest to oldest, 28, 30, 31, 34, 34, 37. And I'm hoping they bring back Yates, and I still think that's the plan. They just haven't got it done yet. That's adding, I believe, 38 years old.
Yep.
So you're going to have a very old bullpen. So from going from younger guys to now almost all old guys, now I'm going to give you the last two spots. I'm going to give you names of guys competing right now for that last spot, and I might be missing a name or two that Jared Sandler would say, watch out for this guy. You have, not in any order, you have righties, Mark Church, Jack Leiter, Emiliano Teodo, and Cole Wynn. I would say those are four young righties possibly competing for a spot in your bullpen. And then I think you have two lefties competing for one spot. But this could change because I'm going to give you something that I would do that I don't think the Rangers are going to do, but I would do. You have Jacob Blatz and Walter Pennington, I think, competing for one spot. So you'd have three lefties, you'd have five righties in your pen. That would be my guess. Now, real quick, the rotation I have is right now, and people aren't going to like this because I'm not naming a guy in the pen and I'm not naming a guy in the rotation. We can talk about it.
The first thing I asked, Mike.
DeGrom, Eovaldi, Bradford. Those are my first three. And then my other two, and you're not going to be completely healthy out of spring. You're not going to be completely healthy out of all year, but you have Tyler Mahle and John Gray. In any order, you can put John Gray at four, Mahle at five, but DeGrom, Eovaldi, Bradford, Mahle and Gray as your starting five.
You love Bradford, huh?
I like him a whole bunch. Yeah. I think he's a great middle of the rotation guy. Lefty, you have no other lefties in your rotation. I didn't name Kamar Rocker. Now,
I know.
Here's what I would do. I didn't name him as a righty reliever because I don't want him to relieve.
I agree.
I think as the season goes on, if you've pitched him 115 innings and you're getting worried about his inning work and you want to use him as kind of more of a every third or fourth day as a couple innings out of your pen, I get it. You're going to have to protect his arm because he hasn't pitched much in the last 3 years. I would only have one spot available in my bullpen if I'm completely healthy, which, look, 99% of the time you're not going to be completely healthy at any point. So me doing this, you're going to have injuries all over the map during the season. You're going to need approximately 30 pitchers. As crazy as that number sounds, you need 30 major league pitchers in your organization per year because of all the injuries that you will sustain. I would have a six-man rotation.
And we used to say seven starters, Kevin.
Yep.
Like we used to say we need seven, and the Rangers only have three. And here we are going, no, we need even more than that.
DeGrom hasn't pitched much in 2 years. Eovaldi is an older guy who did stay pretty healthy, but you could always, you know, help him out. You have Rocker, who we just mentioned, has barely pitched in the last 3 years, but I do love his potential. Bradford last year had the rib injury. He didn't pitch a lot last year. So you now have to watch how much he pitches in 2025. Or maybe you don't. Maybe just Tyler Mahle. Last 2 years, barely pitched at all. And then John Gray, who's dealt with injuries but minor injuries in the last 2 years. So he's been a pretty healthy guy for the most part. But, you know, some of your guys that were most healthy the last 2 years, Andrew Heaney, he's not on your team anymore. Now, I haven't named Sasaki. We don't know where he's going. I'd love...
Because that would change.
That would change a whole bunch of things. You're 100% going to a six-man rotation if Sasaki's there. This is why I say six-man rotations is the future, because nobody in college pitches every fifth day. Nobody in the minor leagues pitches every fifth day. Nobody in Japan pitches every fifth day. So now we get to the major leagues and we go, hey, we know you're an adult and we haven't trained you to do this, but now you need to do it at the highest level where you're probably going to feel the most fatigue and the most mental fatigue because it's really tough to pitch every fifth day and we haven't trained you to do it at any point in your life. Good luck.
I'm sorry if you already said this. I'm pretty sure you asked Bochy this at Pizathon. Did he say he was like, no, I do see it going that direction. I can't remember. Did you?
I can't remember. I think I asked. I think that it's kind of like it's up in the air.
Okay.
I'm going to be honest. Yeah. Probably at his age, he's not going to have to deal with it too much.
He's like,
I do think by 2030, I think every organization will have a six-man rotation.
Wow.
Because everybody's going to be like, what are we doing? Like, literally, none of these guys are we never did it. They've never done it in their life. Why are we asking them to do it at the highest level where we have the biggest injuries? Let's just go to a six-man rotation. Now, if I move Rocker to the sixth spot in my rotation, I only have one spot left to compete for. But I do like that. I think I can control the innings pitched more of all of these guys, DeGrom, Bradford, Mahle, Rocker. I have four guys in my six-man rotation that have not pitched much in the last 2 years. I'll leave out the third year for Rucker. But if I just look at 2023 and 2024, these guys haven't pitched much.
Right.
I do like this team. I think the Rangers have done a good job, as long as they get Tyler Yates back, in getting a veteran Kirby. Bullpen. And I would say this. You're going to be upset, Ranger fans, with two of these guys. Okay? I don't know which two. Bullpens are so crazy. Remember, you don't get to practice as a bullpen guy. It's crazy. It sounds like if a guy got into a three-point shooting slump, we'd be like, well, let's go to the gym at 10 a.m. You know, for the next few days, let's practice on the spots you like, and let's
just. You
don't
get to practice as a bullpen guy?
You just get to play catch. I'm active tonight. Let's say I pitch 35 pitches. I can't practice the next day. Like, I have to kind of, either I might pitch again the next day, or I just need to, like, get loose and make sure I'm ready to go. All right, you didn't pitch that day. I can't throw a bullpen the next day. I had the day off. There's a better chance that I pitch today. This is why bullpen guys go bad and stay bad for a season. There's no practice time. You have to put them on the injured list to give them practice time. You can get in minor bullpens, but still, how hard can I throw my bullpen? How much can I work on if today I might have to throw an inning or two innings? I can't practice that hard. So that's why you can see starters go into slumps and get out of slumps. When you see relievers get into slumps, it's tough for them to get out of slumps unless you put them on the injured list, send them down to the minor leagues, and they can practice on their craft down there for 2 to 3 weeks to then get back to being who you thought they were. But out of Milner, Garcia, Martin, Webb, and Armstrong, you have signed / traded for five guys. Two of those guys probably aren't going to work out. I'm just going off the odds. Not that I dislike specifically two of these guys. I'm just going off the odds. Two of these guys were probably going to get to June 1st and go, I hate this guy. Because as a fan, you're going to be like, every time we give him the ball in the seventh inning, he fails 2 out of 3 times. And that will probably be the case. That's just the way bullpens are. And I think the Rangers are kind of giving this a plethora of guys. Like, let's get five guys and possibly a sixth guy. And we know that some of them are going to fail, and we're going to look at them in June and go, should we release them? What should we do? Should we send them? Should we give them a phantom injured list situation to try to get them to work out better in Frisco or Round Rock or whatever to try to figure it out? We do have these young guys now. Here's what I like. There's not a lot of pressure in spring training from our perspective. I get it from their perspective. Church, Leiter, Tioto, Wynn, Latz, Pennington. These aren't super young guys. But these are younger guys that now you don't have to force into the major leagues and say, you're pitching.
Yeah.
Figure it out. Like, now Jack Leiter, he has to earn his way back to the major leagues, whether it's in the pen or in the rotation. You can't have injuries and then they just have to go up. But I like the depth that you have in the minor leagues, because most likely Church, Leiter, Tioto, Wynn, Latz, and Pennington, four of those guys are going to start off on your AAA team.
Okay.
That gives you a decent start of depth. And I'm not naming your 6-year minor league free agents that you've signed that have pitched 2 or 3 years in the majors.
I kind of like that, though, being a person on the rise rather than you're here. And if you're not, you're out of here, because it gives them something to work towards.
I don't like saying this, but these are releasable guys because you didn't sign anybody to long-term contracts.
That is true.
So if these are guys that you're trying to get them back to where they once were, Chris Martin did have a good year last year, 44 innings, 3.45 ERA. So he was solid. He's going to be your seventh, eighth inning guy. But a lot of these other guys, you're like, hey, I saw this 2 years ago. I saw this in 2023. I saw it at times in 24. But I think that the Rangers are hoping that they can get three of these five guys to pitch at the potential they believe that they can pitch at. And probably two of the guys just aren't going to work out. And by June or July, Ranger fans are going to be upset with them, and the Rangers are going to have to make decisions. And hopefully you're good enough that you trade for a couple relief pitchers to really put you over the top for the stretch run.
That is Mike Likes It right there, ladies and gentlemen. And coming up next on the KNC Masterpiece, we talk a little mock draft just to make Kevin happy. Oh, but we also ask this question. Can you rename this body of water? Next on The Fan.